If your kids watch the Disney Channel, maybe this sounds familiar. M-I-C-K-E-Y.
Double chocolate cookie crisp. New chocolatey cookie cereal with chocolatey chips.
M-O-U-S-E.
That's me.
Lunchables brand pizza from Oscar Mayer. Your pizza has arrived.
It's the Mickey Mouse.
All right, I hope you listen to that carefully because you won't be hearing it all that much longer, at least not on the Disney Channel or Disney Radio. Because in a few hours, Disney and First Lady Michelle Obama will get together to announce new guidelines for ads on Disney's TV stations, its websites, and its radio stations. That means a whole host of ads for candy, sugared cereal, many fast food items. Those ads would all be banned. Earlier, we spoke with Dr. Keith Ayoub, pediatrics professor at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine. He helped Disney develop the new nutrition standards, and we asked him about Disney's new junk food classifications.
No foods that are, you know, what you might call foods with minimal nutritional value are going to be promoted or advertised to children. And only foods that are that meet Disney's fairly strict guidelines are going to be allowed to be licensed and advertised. The issue here is that back in 2006, the ban sort of went towards promotions and sponsorships as well as, licensed characters on food packages and things. But at that point, advertising was still accepted by
anybody.
And
they also tried to upgrade the food at their parks as well to make
– They have, and they've continued to do that. And one of the nicest things that that Jim Hill and I have sort of encouraged is – the sort of the healthier default meals at the parks and at the family-oriented restaurants in the parks, so that when you go up there and you see a menu board with pictures of the meals, you know, sort of the complete meal, there are going to be several choices of healthier options. And you can still get a burger and fries and a soda, but now you have to opt out of, you know, the sort of healthier meals that are all bundled. And you can do that, but it's a little bit more difficult, and people tend to not do it as much. In fact, it's been found that by Disney that about 6 out of every 10 parents just accept the healthier default options, which is a really good thing for kids. That's a huge, huge step in the right direction.
I wonder how much of effect or influence this could have on other companies. There's not a lot of companies that are in the position, the strong position that Disney has, to be able to turn down advertisements without worrying about their bottom line.
I'll tell you, it may affect the bottom line, and it just creates another opportunity for other types of advertising. What we hoped this would do in 2006 was help to drive product reformulation. And the guidelines are set, but they're not set so strictly that there's no food out there that'll qualify, obviously. And the hope is that it sort of gently sort of leads manufacturers of foods to reformulate their products. And actually, that's what happens. That's what happened in 2006. Gradually, what you found is that some things like cereal companies, for example, started lowering the sugar in their cereals. Our guidelines were that the sugar level had to be in single digits. That's exactly what happened.
So, I mean, I guess when you talk about this new ban on advertising for junk foods from Disney, you might say not earth-shattering, but significant. Is that accurate?
Well, it's absolutely significant. And also, it's not just about banning certain foods and being punitive. It's about promoting good foods, because there's going to be less sodium and less sugar in foods for kids, there's also going to be a huge promotion towards breakfast, and not only in the parks, but breakfast in general. Greater emphasis on fruits and vegetables, greater emphasis on whole grains and low-fat dairy foods. And these are the things that kids' diets need most. Frankly, they're the things that most American diets need most. And those are going to be more promoted.
That's Dr. Keith Ayoub, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, and he helped Disney develop the new nutrition standards. Now joining us, Kelly Brunell, Director of the Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity at Yale University. So, Kelly, I mean, you've seen an advanced copy of this plan. Are these actually symbolic? Are these actually pretty strict standards?
There's a lot of risk for something like this to be symbolic, because the food companies are doing a lot of things that are made to look good when they're not. But in fact, I think this is quite significant and quite positive. The devil is in the details with something like this. If Disney had set itself very lax nutrition criteria and lots of foods could sneak through, that would be one thing. But I don't believe that's the case. I think the standards are quite good, and this should put a lot of pressure on food companies and also the other media networks for children to behave similarly.
I got to tell you, Kelly, the part of it that sort of concerns me is the idea of the Mickey check, adding yet another thing onto our boxes of food and products that's supposed to say this is a healthy thing for yourself and your family to eat. I wonder what you think about that approach.
I share that concern, Celeste. The it's really out of control what the food industry has done with labels on the front of packages. Lots of the companies have them. They're all different from one another, and they basically are telling you that things that aren't very good are. So you can't really trust the food industry symbols. So Disney was left with this problem, though, of how do you communicate the fact that there are some foods that are healthier than others, and you really need some way of doing that, and a symbol is probably as good as anything else. So while I don't like the proliferation of symbols and don't think that consumers find that very helpful, Disney had to do something, and this is probably as good as anything.
Although, to be fair, I was looking over these standards, and they looked actually stricter than the standards that some food companies use to get those stickers or those labels on their food products.
Oh, by far, and that's where a lot of the significance rests, because if the food companies are left to regulate themselves and to declare what's healthy or not, you can imagine what will happen. It will be a complete abuse of the public trust. So the fact that Disney is setting strict standards, I think, will force the industry to reformulate its foods. Disney can't do that by themselves, but it's at least a step in the right direction. And then I think it'll also lead to consumers having a little more trust in these symbols.
But how much influence could this move have? Because Disney, as I mentioned, Dr. Keith Ayoub, is in a unique position. They can afford to take the risk with advertising dollars.
Well, they're the leader. They have a lot of credibility among families and, of course, tremendous reach. So if they take a step in the positive direction like this is, then I think the world will have to listen. So I think this will be a good advance for public health, but a lot of other players need to come along and play ball with Disney and to accept these kind of guidelines in order to have the anticipated effect.
So, Kelly, you're saying that parents will be able to trust the Mickey check?
It looks to me like the criteria are good, so that if you see a food with a Mickey check, it's likely to be a pretty healthy food.
Oh, wow. Kelly Brunell, director of the Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity at Yale University. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
As I mentioned, Disney executives will join the First Lady Michelle Obama to announce the details about these new guidelines in a moment. We're wondering what you think about it. Would you buy food based on it's having the Mickey Mouse check mark of approval on it? 8778-MY-TAKE, or how do you make healthy food choices for your kids? We want to know. You can also post your comment at thetakeaway.org.